Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome. I'm Major Mike Gary, your host for today's Whistleblower Report. And this is going to be another military segment. And we're going to be discussing this Private Marinon story. We had just covered this not too long ago, about 3 weeks ago. I did this story with a Command Sergeant Major Steve Baker. And we discussed what's going on in this young private's life. And in a way, it's kind of like a story that covers what's going on in the military overall. But before I go too far, I have another guest co-host with me today. It's going to be Master Sergeant Jack Donna. He's been on the show before, and he's very intimate with this private story, as he's helped him out over the time or the trial this private's been in. And before we get into it too much, I want to say right out of the gate that neither one of us are representing the Department of Defense. Master Sergeant is retired, and I'm barely hanging on. And I don't work full-time anymore for the military, so I get my First Amendment right, and I get to say what I want to say while I'm doing something else for a job. And likewise for the Master Sergeant. I want to thank all the Truth for Health Foundation donors that have helped us with all our legal battles over the last 3 years. We're thankful for the money that you've given. We put it to the best use we can. We found recipients that have used it wisely. And so we thank you for that. And we hope that you would continue to make your contributions to our foundation as we're continuing to bring righteous fights against all these COVID mandates, these outrageous violations against our rights, and anything else that comes up. That's what the Truth for Health Foundation is here for. So as you know, I'm Major Mike Gary, 26 years of service, 15 years of it as a hazmat technician. A lot of you know that I was forced out full-time wise due to the vaccine mandates, and I still exist as a part-time soldier at the moment. We'll see how long that lasts for. But since the tyrannical COVID mandates culminating in the vaccine mandate, the military has essentially gotten away with murder. And what I mean by that is they seem to be able to force any political agenda they want, for example, DEI, diversity, inclusion, equity and inclusion, Which is the new way of saying wokeism that has entered the army and is making it very difficult to actually serve in the armed services right now, because it's no longer about doing your job or the mission of the unit or the armed forces abroad. It's about fulfilling these political agendas. And so this has been detrimental to the military's mission. And you have people wasting time worried about doing the perceived right thing is. And to just give you a quick reminder of the Private Marinon story is he had a MAGA screensaver on his phone, which got him into hot water with his chain of command. I am going to let Mass Sergeant Jack Donna explain this in more detail because he knows the story a lot better. But last time when I had Command Sergeant Major Steve Baker on, who was a Vietnam-era service member, so he had been through decades of services and had seen the political winds of change happen over those decades, he had a very interesting perspective to share with us on the last story. The last whistleblower report that we did on this, and that one was entitled Self-Inflicted Wounds, U.S. Military Has Lost Its Way, and that will be included as a link to this update story, so you can go and listen to that and see the discussion we had around this story. Now, there is a key update to this story that Mass Sergeant Jack Don is going to share with us. It's something that's transpired in the last 3 weeks, and it's utterly shameful. So, Mass Sergeant, if you wouldn't mind, could you introduce yourself? I know you've done a number of these whistleblower reports, but give the audience a quick reminder of who you are, and then go ahead, get right into the story and the key update that we're facing inside the military. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on, Major. I appreciate it. You know, and everything that the organization does for not only, you know, medical freedom, but also to, you know, expose and cast the light on situations like this. My name is Master Sergeant Jack Donner, U.S. Army retired. I spent 23 years on active duty. I primarily work in the aviation intelligence services as an electronic warfare maintainer. And part of my career, I went to work for the National Security Agency for 5 years, working on national level computer systems. After retiring, I became a defense contractor doing the same thing at multiple deployments, Iraq, Afghanistan, South China Sea, you name it. Been there, Horn of Africa, Gulf of Yemen. So that's me in a nutshell. How I came to be involved in this situation is in November, around mid-November, I received a call from State Senator Sonny Borelli. And State Senator Sonny Borelli of Arizona is he's a retired Marine gunnery sergeant. He's called Gunny. So he called me up and he described the case to me. And what he told me was he had been contacted by the wife of Private Piero Maranin. And basically what was described to me was that this soldier who was in basic training at Fort Jackson went through his graduation ceremony. His parents were there. His wife was there. They all flew into Fort Jackson. When the graduation ceremony was over and the diplomas were going to be handed out, he was pulled aside and said, "You're not getting a diploma. You're under investigation." And they wouldn't let him see his parents until he begged them. And finally, they said, "We'll give you 10 minutes in the car with them. But then after that, you have to report to the barracks." So the story I was told from the gunny was that I call him a kid, you know, 30, he's 32 years, 33 years old, but they took him away from his barracks area. They put him in a conference room meeting area in the battalion area, gave him a cot, an actual like aluminum field cot, and a box of MREs, denied him religious services, denied him inspector general services, denied him, even denied him, he tried to use the open door policy. They absolutely would not let him have any means of redress to get his side of the story out, that basically he was being railroaded. Now, I don't know if Steve mentioned this, but this is a detail that recently came out, and it is in the Article 138 that his attorney filed, that basically what kind of precipitated and also fueled the I call it an attack. It's my opinion. The attack on this private was he was at the vaccination clinic, and there was a nurse that was there, and she was friendly with him and administering vaccines, and she asked him if he was married. And he said, "Yes, I'm married." And she said, "Oh, wow! Can I see a photo?" So Private Moranin pulled out his phone and showed a photo of his wife, who happens to be white. Private Moranin is from Peru. Now, this nurse was black, and she looked at the private, and she's administering these injections. She says to him, "Well, white girls are easy. They spread their legs for everyone." The private was immediately incensed by this, and he filed an EO complaint. Well, the EO complaint was shelved, and it was not soon after that. Then, they started with the screensaver. "You're a racist. You're a white supremacist," which is really laughable. I mean, these are people of color, okay, and I'm Hispanic, okay. My folks are from Nicaragua and Spain, so you've got people of color calling another person of color who's married to a white woman a white supremacist. So wrap your head around that one. So, but in any case, I looked at all of the paperwork and I said, "Yeah, there's an injustice going on here." We brought Colonel Chambers on board because the intent was to see if we could get Lieutenant Colonel Chambers to speak to his command. So, Pete Chambers contacted, company commander, battalion commander, tried emailing them. They wouldn't respond to him. And we thought that, well, likely what it is that they probably Googled and found out who Pete Chambers was and said, "We're not going to talk to this guy." So we decided at that point to bring on Colonel Jenkins, Colonel Don W. Jenkins, whom I know. I was his first sergeant 30 years ago. He's a member of the Connell Rand think tank. And he engaged one-on-one with Colonel Uthlout. Now, things were going in the right direction. The private had been interviewed by a lieutenant and also by another major. The lieutenant apologized to the private, actually told the private, "On behalf of the US Army, we apologize for what happened to you." But the very next day, now keep in mind, this is where it dovetails in what you're talking about, Major, about this DEI woke thing. The very next day, when this was starting to go in the right direction, the company commander immediately initiated chapter proceedings against the private, despite the fact that an investigation had been initiated by the brigade commander. So essentially, and this I get this on the advice of Colonel Jenkins, essentially what happened was this company commander boxed in the brigade commander by doing that legally. Now, this is the same company commander that on the first day that all of the trainees showed up, stood up in front of the company, and according to the private, said, "I want to know how many genders there are. And if you say there are two, you're wrong." Now, that is just absolutely incredible. I mean, that violates religious, asking someone to violate their religious conscience, amongst other things. It's just unbelievable. So, This company commander essentially boxed in the brigade commander. Multiple investigations ensued between the staff judge advocate. The private's attorney initiated an Article 138. Eli Crane, Congressman Eli Crane, was notified by Congressman Paul Gosar to get involved with this. And so it was determined that they were trying to break this private. It was going on to 4.5 months. And so the decision was a group of us that was working on this. The decision was decided to do a Codel. In actuality, in all fairness, it was General Flynn who mentioned to me and said they need to do a Codel, which is a, for your listening audience, that's a congressional delegation visit. So I couldn't make it at the time. I was tied up with personal business, but the people that were chosen to go were Colonel Jenkins, Don W. Jenkins, retired, and Congressman Eli Crane. So what happened was, and this was roughly 2 weeks ago, what happened was Congressman Crane interviewed the private, interviewed some random other trainees, and so did Colonel Jenkins. The trainees all said, "This is a good guy. There's nothing wrong with him." He, you know, they're and they're and they said they're trying to break him. They're trying to railroad him. So then after that, the brigade commander came in, Colonel Uthlout, and when all of this information was being presented, okay, to Colonel Jenkins and Eli Crane, they already had all of the information. But one thing that was pointed out was to Colonel Uthlout was, you guys first had him on a Chapter 11, which is 180 days. You know, as a trainee, you know, you're under 180 days. Then, as soon as he got over 180 days and he had finished his term, you guys turned around and flipped it and made it a Chapter 13. So they basically whipped the paperwork. All of the counseling statements all had the same date, the same time stamps, and here's the thing that was really incredible, that the counseling statements were signed by a drill sergeant who had never had any authority over the private. Says when we questioned the private, he says, "Who is this person?" He says, "I don't know. I don't even know what these counseling statements, you know, where they came from. They all materialized. I think it was a total of 10 of them appeared all on the same day. They all on the same dates." So, after the interview with the brigade commander, the commanding general of Fort Jackson and the training brigades, Major General John Kelly, was interviewed by Congressman Eli Crane and by Colonel Jenkins. And the one concession that the general conceded was that, yes, I did screw up on Article 138. You know, that's on me, because they missed the deadline. And to date, they still have not completed the Article 138, but they did. And get this, now, all you military people, you officers out there, they never completed the Article 138, which is part of the private's appeal, his right, but yet they chaptered him out anyway. Okay, so the general told at the end of the meeting, the congressman Eli Crane told the general, "You have not convinced me that you're not trying to railroad this private, and I expect an answer next week." And the general said, "You'll have an answer for me by Wednesday. I have to give the brigade commander the opportunity to make the right decision, and then I'm going to review it. And if it isn't the right decision, then I'm going to make the call." So the general was supposed to call Eli Crane. So then you fast forward to last week Monday, this Monday, just the other day, Monday. Eli Crane never received a call from the general or from the brigade commander. So he went, him and Gunnery State Senator Gunny Borelli went on Steve Bannon's War Room. You guys, if you want to look at it, you can look up the interview. It's Monday's this last Monday's appearance on Bannon's War Room. And they basically laid out everything that was going on with this private and what was being done to him, the injustices that were doing being done to him. And apparently there was someone at the command group that was watching this, Bannon, because within 45 minutes of that telecast, the private was pulled out of the barracks, told to report to the battalion headquarters, and was told, "You are being immediately chaptered out. Your paperwork is being generated right now. Hand over your phone. Tomorrow morning, report to the battalion headquarters in civilian clothes. You will be escorted off the base." Next morning came, called him in, handed him his phone, gave him bad paper. They gave him the worst kind of DD Form 214 you can get. I mean, it's just really a tragedy. The battalion sergeant major, who was part of this whole thing, with denying him, he kept going to the battalion sergeant major and asking him. His name is Torres, asking him to see the brigade commander on the open door policy. And what he would do is he would take the private to the battalion, open up the door to the battalion commander's office, and say, "There you go, there's the open door," and then take him and march him back to the barracks. Never allowed him any of his rights. So the battalion sergeant major drives him to the front gate of Fort Jackson, opens his trunk up, pulls his gear out, puts it on the ground right there, looks at the private and says, "Good luck, brother," gets in his car and drives away. And that's how this person was treated. That's how this soldier was treated. So, what is the real big issue here? The big takeaway, besides the fact that our sons and daughters, our precious youth, is being sent and being exposed to this garbage. The first and only job of the military should be to kill the enemy. That's it. All of this woke DEI stuff, it's part of a larger plan to purge the military. First, they used the vax, and now they're doing this woke DEI thing. But here is the real concern that your listening audience should realize. A sitting congressman was blown off by a general. Now, in the military, it has been since the founding of the country, the military answers to civilian authorities. And we have a situation now developing where the brass, the general officers, the military no longer feel they are answerable to civilian authority.
Jack, I want you to hold that thought and we will develop it on the second half. But I would like to respond to some of the new information that I learned from you just now from comparing to the last show that we did on this private. The fact that that female medic had said that about his wife is shocking. That conversation actually went on like that. And then to find out that his company commander addressed the formation that way with such a politically hot topic, right? I find that incredibly interesting. Okay, how there is only one side politically that can survive in the military right now.
Okay, you lost your sound.
Yeah, so I find it incredibly interesting how only one political side, the extreme far left, is allowed. That thought process is allowed in the military. The anti-human political side is the only side allowed to be had in the military right now. So that's what I find interesting about the female medic story and the company commander side of the story. And so there is political agendas that are deep in your face, and they did really get magnified through the COVID mandates because it started with if you're going to PCR test or if you're going to wear the mask, or and then culminating in the shot. And this is where it's become so crucial now or dangerous that the military has gotten away with so much by breaking regulations and then eventually the law. And this private is definitely a hot topic, and I think that's why it's good that we're rallying around this. So Masarn, on the other side of the break, I want you to develop that topic around the military and civilian representation, and we'll hit that topic pretty hard. We will be back right after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Hello, everyone. This is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, U.S. Army and legal grant recipient of the Truth for Health Foundation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Truth for Health Foundation for helping me and my family over the past year with our legal battles. Recently, I was court-martialed for not participating with these experimental COVID-19 emergency use authorized products. If it wasn't for Truth for Health Foundation and all the support, I would definitely be in a worse spot. But because of all the support, I'm able to continue uniform service, fighting for what's right to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. God bless each and every one of
Welcome
you.
Welcome back to
God
the second half of
America.
The show. This is the Whistleblower Report, and this is another military segment for the Truth for Health Foundation. I have my co-host with me, Mass Sergeant retired Jack Donna, and we are talking about this private Marin and the situation that is so hot right now. It's a hot topic because it is reminiscent of how so many got treated during the COVID mandate era in the military. And it's like the military just can't help itself but do the wrong thing, it's funny in a way, because the military has been known for doing stupid things over the course of the decades. Usually soldiers would get through it by laughing it off and making a joke about it and driving on mission. But the problem is the military doesn't do its mission anymore. It does DEI stuff, or this wokeism. And on the first half of this program, we were talking about how the military seems to be running unchecked. And that is even against the civilian representation or congressional delegations that would be above the military. It doesn't seem to matter anymore, just like laws don't matter anymore. So, Mass Sergeant, would you kind of give us a hint about what you were trying to allude to on the first half of the story as it relates to that topic?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious to anyone who's ever served in the military, especially within the officer ranks or at the senior NCO levels, that the military system that was set up, if you look at the command structure, the military brass always report to a civilian. For example, the Army has a Secretary of the Army. That's a civilian position. So does the Navy, so does the Coast Guard, so does the Marine Corps. These are all essentially chosen by the president, and all of them answer to the head of the Department of Defense. And so he is over his secretaries. Now, I began to notice a change. This is my own personal observation. I began to notice a change with this when General Milley took over as chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Now, if you look at the structure, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is in an advisory role. He does not have any type of command, any tangible command authority. He doesn't have like a brigade he can run out and command. He deals with his individual, you know, the Air Force chairman, you know, the different services, the different four stars at those different services. He deals with them, but they all answer to a civilian. That's very key. And that's always been like, it's been like that. So basically, you have a situation there at Fort Jackson where a general officer smiled, said that, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to get back with you, this and that, and then did nothing. Did not bother to return the congressman's calls, did not bother to return the congressman's emails. And that should be very concerning. That should be very concerning to anyone who's listening to this program, because it essentially, unless we get a viable explanation, which, you know, the last I heard from the congressman, he's still waiting. What would be the, what possible reason would it be that a general officer now feels he no longer has to answer to civilian authority? And I pointed this out to, you know, both congressmen, you know, Congressman Gozar and Congressman Crane, that you need to take this back to your colleagues up there, and that you've got a serious problem. Because if the military is now viewing the congressional leaders, I don't care if it's in the U.S. House or in the U.S. Senate, if the military is now viewing you guys as nothing but ministerial, you're just in a ministerial position, and they don't realize that a congressman has upwards of 550,000 people that he represents. If they no longer honor that, if they no longer understand that, okay, that is a serious, serious blow to our form of government, representative government, a republic.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. I mean, it's a scary situation that we're in. And I guess that's like the civilian population in this country is just recently catching up to all of us that were purged out of the military, whether it was for the failed Afghanistan pullout, and then shortly after that, the vaccine mandate. This is what we were essentially doing. We were standing up for the rule of law in that situation, which, you know, would foreshadow what is about to happen. And this is another story that's highlighting how sick the military is becoming, in the fact that they no longer follow rules, regulations, policies, and laws anymore, depending on how you overlay that with the political winds of change, because the political winds of change are priority one. And laws are secondary to that. And that was well seen with the COVID vaccine mandate. Okay. And that's essentially when we said we stood up and fulfilled our oaths and stood up for the Constitution, that's exactly what we did there. And I think now the civilian population in this country is starting to see that the military has become quite sick, in the fact that it can no longer perform. Well, I don't want to say this 100%. I don't want to beat it, because there's still some good people inside the military doing good things. There are still war fighters in those war fighting type units, like the infantry, special forces. But what are they doing? They're downsizing special forces tremendously. Right. I think they've taken away 3,000 operators, as well as getting rid of a whole bunch of other slots. So what's going to be left behind by the time they keep trying to adjust the numbers to fit their lies?
Exactly. Look at what they just did with recruiting. I mean, they were short in the Army, was short 25,000 soldiers. That's five brigades. And what did they do? They just waved their magic wand and said, Well, this is our new manning level. Hey, look, we made our goal. You know, people need to understand something here. What's really going on, big picture? What's going on in the military? It's also happening in civilian organizations. It's happening in businesses. You're going to hear the word, and you're listening on it, so you're going to hear this word intersectionality. Okay, you're going to hear that word a lot from these people that are pushing DEI woke. And what that term means, and you need to pay close attention when they use that term, intersectionality. What it means is all of these different groups. We're talking about the LGBTQ group. We're talking about, you know, Communist Party of America. We're talking about La Raza. You know, we're talking about all of these Marxist, leftist, you know, movements. You know, I don't care who they are. They're using what's called intersectionality, in that they may not agree with one another, but they do agree on one thing, and that is fundamentally changing our society, destroying the Judeo-Western civilization as we know it, eliminating the family unit, and they're going after our military. They're going after our military really hard, and they're purging it. They used the vax first. They instilled a climate of fear, and now it's moved from the vax to if you love America, you love your country's history, and I know we're going to get to that about the West Point thing. If you love your country's history, if you love, if you're patriotic, and sadly, if you are of the white race, you got a target on your back. They don't want you. They do not want you. They want people that will blindly follow orders and follow party, the ideology. And this is dangerous. It's dangerous if it's in the military, because I want your audience to think about that. This is a training unit, a training brigade. They train basic training. Okay. Now it just so happens that this kid, I call him a kid, Private Moranin, he was 32 years old when he went to basic training. He wanted to serve. He wanted to give back to his country. On a positive note, the one good thing that happened was a week and a half ago, they had to relent and they gave him his citizenship. He was sworn in as a U.S. citizen. So that was one thing that they did have to relent and give him, because, you know, they couldn't say that this is so bad that you can't be a citizen. So he did get sworn in as a citizen. But I want your listening audience to think about this. And this is why the recruiting numbers are so down. No parent wants to send their 18 or 19-year-old into a basic training unit where a company commander is going to be addressing them and saying these crazy things, these crazy ideas, you know. And it's really a tragedy. It really is, Major.
Yeah. So intersectionality, that was a good point, right? So this is their religion, essentially, or their creed for their new anti-human religion, is probably a good way of thinking about that. So those are all key, excellent points that you made. And the audience really does need to kind of take that in and think about it, because the military before COVID was the most honored and trusted of institutions, if you think about it. It was. There was a bunch of surveys validating that very point. So in 3 very short years, it is now crashing and plummeting to the point that it can be the most tyrannical piece, because it essentially could be the hammer of the government on its people, is what Jack is talking about there. So think about that. Now, I have a story here from the Gateway Pundit, written by Mike LaChance. Him and J.M. Phelps have been doing some really good stories about what's going on in the military. But this one is called West Point Removes the Words Duty, Honor, Country from Its Mission Statement. West Point has removed the words duty, honor, country from its mission statement, replacing them with more generic words like Army values. This change comes amid the worst military recruiting problem in the United States in years. Does anyone in military leadership think this will help with that issue? This will also do nothing to quiet the idea that the military has gone woke. West Point Superintendent Army Lieutenant General Steve Gilland on Monday announced a new mission statement for the venerable institution that replaces the words duty, honor, country for the more generic Army values. Okay, so here's the West Point's previous mission statement: to educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets so that each graduate is a commissioned leader of character, committed to the values of duty, honor, country, and prepared for a career of professional excellence and service to the nation as an officer in the United States Army. It now reads this: to build, educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets to be commissioned leaders of character committed to the Army values and ready for a lifetime of professional excellence and service to the Army and nation. Gillen claimed he wanted to focus more on the mission essential task of build, educate, train, and inspire versus duty, honor, and country. The change is being harshly criticized on Twitter. And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of comments and tweets on that. Now, okay, they got rid of duty, honor, and country, replaced it with Army values. Well, currently, Army values is this. And so Master Sergeant and I both were raised under these Army values: loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. That is currently the Army values. Now, do you think he is referencing those Army values or the new Army values that are about to be changed?
Okay. There you go.
I guarantee there's a change with the Army values coming very soon, because these values are inconsistent with what's going on inside the Army, especially after the two anecdotal stories or details that you shared this time about the female medic and what she said about Private Marinon's wife, and that company commander saying what he said about multiple genders and going by people that only thought there was two. Okay, so these are inconsistent things. They're quickly tearing down the foundations of who the military is. And again, without a nation without a strong military may not be a nation for long, especially when there's no geographical borders anyway, or borders that are being guarded, right? So these are all very concerning things, and they are changing rapidly. And that's something that the civilian population needs to spend themselves up on. I think they have, because, again, this is why we're running into a recruiting, a crucial time in our recruiting, where we can't fill the ranks because nobody wants to join an institution that's gone off the rails. So anyway, I just wanted to share that story. Do you have any thoughts on that, Master Sergeant?
Well, you stole my thunder, Major. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, basically, removing duty, honor, country, and replacing it with Army values. Well, you got to start at the top first, okay? And you nailed it, because basically now what comes next? And more importantly, who determines what the Army's values are? Who makes that decision? And you're right. I guarantee you there's going to be changes that are going to come down to the Army values. And I bet you they're going to encompass inclusivity and equity. There's all of these buzzwords. These are all Marxist buzzwords, and they would be diametrically opposed to the 200-year-old motto of duty, honor, country. So people need to understand something, what's going on. I know a lot of people are like, what is going on? Why are they renaming all of the bases? Why are they redoing all of this? I really, I know it's a heavy read, but I really, really would exhort your listening audience to, if they haven't already done so, pick up a copy of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. And basically, she lays it out in that book. It's a fictional novel, but it lays out how a society, a Western society, is subverted and brought down in this matter. And George Orwell also touched on it in 1984. The way that they control you is by controlling information, and they have to erase history. They have to rewrite history so that you don't have the ability to discern truth from fact. So basically what happens is when you don't have that basis anymore, reality and the truth is what the state tells you it is. You always, it is, there's no past, there's no future, it's only the constant now. And that's what we're seeing. They're basically erasing our history. They're rewriting it, and it's Marxism. It's what it is. It's Marxism.
It's living in the now.
Yeah,
you know, it's a very key thing in like an evolutionary thought process too. If you believe that you came from a mud puddle, it's easy to live in the now. Go get it for yourself because you're not held accountable to a higher authority. And this is the way our government is operating right now. This is why they refuse to follow laws or the high rule of the land, the Constitution, because the Constitution proclaims a higher authority and the creator God of all of this. And that's why they have to have, that's why they have to force their religion down our throats. You know, we were kind of naming it intersectionality right now, but essentially their religion is to destroy any other religion or get rid of the at least the creator God and wipe him out. And that's a lot of living in the now is about doing that type of stuff. So therefore, you can't have anything that's consistent or organized, meaning a husband-wife. You know, or you have to have all these different genders, right, to break up the husband, wife, and then the progeny of them, right, to throw everything into chaos. And that's what they've been doing with everything. And I kind of look at it like this, you know, whether you want to call them fascist, Marxist, or whatever the flavor is, okay. They have always wanted to do away with the United States military because it was a standard bearer of so many things. Yes, soldiers do stupid things. Yes, there's been some atrocities in the background of the military, but we also fought a civil war. And you saw men give their lives for one thought process or another, whether it was state rights or to free the slaves. I mean, we went to war over a moral fight, you know, whichever way you stood in that, that says something about the nation. The fact that we would go forth and erase that history just shows what type of people they are. They want to do away with anything that was worth learning. And they don't want us to be a learning people right now. That's why they purged the government out of critical thinkers. I mean, they went through and got rid of essentially all the critical thinkers out of the military and all the government agencies. And now we're trying to actually make sense. And now that all this has happened, the American public's finally woken up. And how do you overcome all this? Because all the levers of power are in the fascists, Marxists, whatever you want to label them, hands.
Yep.
And it's a hard thing to do now. Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts on that, Jack?
Well, you know, I will say this, you know, everything that you're saying is accurate. And, you know, it speaks to the very nature of evil itself. And this is kind of a deep concept for some people to wrap their heads around. But good, anything that is good, that comes from the Lord, comes from God, you know, Judeo-Christian principles, okay, it can stand on its own. And what I mean by that is it can exist, it can flourish, it can stand on its own. But the nature of evil itself, evil has always been parasitic. Evil has to tear down something. Evil has to poison something. Evil has to wreck it, bring it down. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing evil running rampant not only in the military, but also in our government. You know, people are willing to sell out to the Chinese, you know, sell out for a quick buck. And you know, that's we're in a great struggle right now. You know, I just went to visit my dad. He's 92 years old. You know, he fought in the Korean War, two tours in Vietnam. And he told me, he said, son, he said, this is the final battlefield. Either Marxism and fascism and all of these will die here in America, or America will fall and it'll go global. It'll go worldwide. So we are right now the battlefield, the whole world. I get messages from people in Australia, in Britain. Hey, when are you Yanks going to do something? What, it's just, we got to fix ourselves first. You know, when are you guys going to help us? When are you guys going to help us? It's like we are in the final battle right now. That's my
Wow.
final. Yep.
Wow, that was well said. And coming from your father, who is a Korean War vet, that's pretty heavy. I mean, and we know it, but it's validation of what we already knew. And it's sad in a way that you have all these great service members that are passing away, these great generations as we tend to think of them, doing their service, and we wanted to model our service after theirs, and here we are in the biggest battle of all times, especially in this nation's history, and it to be validated by somebody that we look so high upon. Well, that's there you have it, folks. That's where we're at. That's where the military is at. Don't expect it to get any better anytime soon until we actually find ways to push against it. And these ways aren't necessarily face to face or bayonet to bayonet. They are much fought with shining the light on things and awareness level. And for this private story here, it was about everybody kind of banding together around him, whether it was sending emails to the chain of command or actually putting the congressional delegation together. And actually going in, you know, going in there and doing that and fulfilling that meeting with the representation. Who knows? The story's not over yet. Maybe our representatives will actually follow through and use this story as an example to actually you know, either strengthen or affirm the laws we already have on the books, or actually put forth new legislation to make some corrections on things going on in the military. So we have at least supported this young man in this effort. And if there's anybody else out there, I'm sure there's many that are suffering in a similar way, we should rally around them and help them as best we can. So thank you for listening to our show. I want to thank the donors again. Go and sign up to give donations, as your donations have helped our nation's finest fight for our rights. You can go to www.truthforhealth.org. That's truth, forhealth.org. Join our crusades. We are silent no more. Sign up for our email alerts. Check out our resources that we provide, from medical advice to ministry help and constitutional right information. We also have our nutraceuticals and supplements in our Truth for Health store. Go check those out. We have formulas that will help for all the COVID signs and symptoms and adverse events too. So go check that out. We also have our vaccine damage database that we have had hundreds of people sign into, and we are looking to support those people with medical information, medical guidance, and direct them to wherever they need to get help. So go check those things out at truthforhealth.org. I'm Mike Gary and Jack Donna signing off.
Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts, donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law, and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this, with all that is assaulting our way of life. Join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out, get loud, get involved. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.